is in you, Lord, my strength, is in you, Lord, my hope, is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I'll praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in my life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength, all of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you, in you, it's in you, it's in you. Amen. As the book of Acts says, it is in him, in Christ, that we live and move and have our being. Amen. Number 150. The goodness of God, we just read this morning in our prayer time in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses asked God to, said, show me your glory. And God said, all of my goodness will pass before you, but I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock because you cannot see my face. 150, the goodness of God.
It's running after
after me. This is running after, it's running after me. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. You have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. After me, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. But now I give you everything, after, it's running after me. Running after me. Amen. You may be seated. His goodness is amazing. Well, good morning. I don't hear the bell, so we'll just go. Don't have to have the bell, you know. Good morning. It is a beautiful day. Happy Father's Day to all the guys here, men, dads, grandpas, uncles, whatever the case may be. Today is your special day, and what a beautiful day it is, especially after the little rain shower yesterday that we were blessed with. So, a few announcements that I have to go over. We're excited and rejoicing with the Cross family. Amber and Callie are going to have their baptism today a little bit later, and we have some of their family with us. So, welcome to all of you. A couple other things here. The Keys for Kids, that's the devotional that we have for our fifth grade children on down. Those are in the social hall against the west wall with the name by family on it. So if you have kids in that age group and didn't pick it up last week, please do so today because the new edition of it starts here in July 1st. If you've looked at the bulletin, Ann and I leave early tomorrow morning. Very early, flying out to Arizona to visit with Ann's family. We'll be gone a week and a couple days. You see that? So if you have needs or questions, you can call the church office or Ken Stepanek. He's the chairman of the consistory, or one of the other consistory members. Next Sunday, Reverend David Vilhauer will be here to give the message. He's actually a 1973 graduate of Menno High School, and was confirmed here in this church with Shirley Mettler. Where are you, Shirley? Yeah. Fred Schultz, maybe some others. But so, and he's an assistant pastor at a church in Sioux Falls. 2 weeks from today, we do not have church here. That brings us to July 2nd, and that will be our community worship service in the city park, 10 o'clock. So no church here on July 2nd. Bring your lawn chairs to the service there. Also, take note of there's a mission evening coming up on Friday, June 30th, right here in our social hall. These are friends of Robert and Elaine Balow. Tamia Okay. Tamia and Randall Stone and their children, they're missionaries in Hungary, the country of Hungary. They've been there 16 years, and they're going to share with us that night about their mission work and what God's doing over there. Last, I'll just call your attention to Troy Heckenleibel. His address is in the bulletin insert. He's got that surgery tomorrow with the removal of his kidney. There's a large cyst on it. So if you wanted to send a card to him, that would be great. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've made. And our hearts rejoice in your goodness as we will soon sing this hymn called "This Is My Father's World." And it is yours. You are the creator of all. And you are our heavenly Father. As on our earth this day, we call it as Father's Day. We celebrate our fathers in the natural and our grandfathers and uncles and the men in our lives who are we are all so grateful for them. We ask your blessings upon each and every one of them. But Father, we thank you for your blessings that are more incredible than all. The gifts you have given us through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And how can we say thanks? We do with our words, but we also do with our lives is how we live for you. And so we present our bodies today as living sacrifices before your throne and ask that you would work through us and move through us and fill us afresh with your Spirit this day to overflowing, that as we go forth from this place, you will shine through us brightly to all that we come in contact with. So thank you, Lord, for filling this place with your goodness and your glory and your power today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We will stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 143, "This Is My Father's World." The words should be on the screen if all works. There we go. "This Is My Father's World." This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. Oh, let me ne'er forget. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Amen. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, today, before you are seated. Morning.
All right. We will have our sharing of joys and concerns. And I know we have Brian's parents here from Texas, I believe, right? Welcome. And Amber's parents here from near Lincoln, Nebraska. So welcome. Exciting for the baptism today. A couple other things I have down. I know that Eli Sokup and Maverick Smith from our church were out in Fort Pierre, I believe Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the high school rodeo finals out there. I'm not quite sure how they did. I didn't hear that. Anybody? Okay, we'll get a report later. But pray that it all went well. Larry and Marge Zabe, they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary on Friday. And Marge is here, so congratulations to you. Yes. Give a big hug to Larry when you get home. Okay. And Bill and Judy Headley, I don't think Judy's here today, but today is their 56th wedding anniversary. So if you see them around, Judy, you might give them a congratulations. Yesterday we had Spencer and Shaylee Schultz's wedding here. It was a beautiful day in the rain, and all went well. Congratulations to them. Also, I mentioned earlier, but tomorrow is Troy Heckenleibel's surgery up in Sioux Falls to remove the kidney. There was a cyst on it, and so it has to be removed. So we'll be praying for him, Lee's older brother. All right. On that note, did you find the dad's root beer?
Yep.
Okay. All right. All the guys, you get a bottle of dad's root beer when you leave today for Father's Day, okay? So don't forget. The Christian Ed Committee will hand it out to you. Let's see, what else do I have down? Well, prayers for Lucille Preheim. Kenneth is here today. This is his mother, and she was moved into the Freeman Care Center recently. So just prayers for Lucille and the family, and Lucille and Kathleen, and they always used to sit right there about where you're at, Kenneth, today. So thanks for being here. Continued prayers for Clifford Herbolt. He's at home in hospice care. Also, Marcia Shelsky. She's in our care center on hospice. And Carl's sister, Eleanor Renner, had a stroke this last week or the week? Just Tuesday? Tuesday, okay. And she is in the hospital. Okay. So, all right. Okay. Prayers for her. And praise the Lord for the rain again. Amen. Anything on this side? Joy's concerns. Yeah, Pat? Okay. Pat Palmerville and her sister Jackie. Jackie's from Oregon, and they're going to leave Saturday, driving back there and stopping along the way and spending time. So, yes, prayers for safe travels. All right. Okay, over here. Yes.
Well, we won't be here, but we will be celebrating our 30th.
That's right. Yeah. We will. That's a week and a day away.
I know, but it'll be
the Yes, we will not be here, but our 30th anniversary is Monday, the 26th of June. So we'll be in Arizona still yet then. Thank you. We wait till the summer to go to Arizona. Who needs to go in the winter, right? Well, we did after Christmas, and that didn't go so well. So, okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Many joys today. Yes, our anniversary, Bill and Judy's, Larry and Marge. I'm sure others coming that maybe weren't mentioned, but we ask your blessings on all of these. All of these anniversaries, birthdays, maybe that weren't mentioned either. But thank you for them. We pray for Pat and her sister Jackie and their trip back to Oregon and stopping the relatives along the way and then coming back. We just ask you to give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways and your traveling mercies to be upon them. Lord, for Eli Sokup and Maverick Smith, we lift them up. I think those rodeo finals are done yesterday. And we just thank you that they were there and able to compete in them. And pray your blessings upon them through the summer, and their, whether it's 4-H rodeo or what comes next, but keep them safe, Father. We thank you for Spencer and Shaylee Schultz and their families and a beautiful wedding yesterday. And on that note, Michael Newharth also, Earl and Teresa's son, was married yesterday as well. And we just thank you for blessing these young couples as they start out their lives together. And we thank you, Father, as we lift up Troy Heckenleibel with his surgery tomorrow to remove a kidney and that with the cyst. Lord, I've prayed with him. We've prayed about this, and we come to you again today as our great physician, our healer. Thank you for going before and taking hold of the surgeon's hands that all would go well for the surgery and the time of recovery. We pray for Gene Bender as he starts radiation treatments tomorrow on the tumor behind his ear. For, Lord, there's others I know right here with us this morning who are going through various treatments, radiation, chemo. I think Amber's mom, Amy, is in the midst of chemo. We lift her up and thank you that you renew her strength day by day and let your healing power flow through her body, Father. We ask that. Thank you for the Lucille Preheim as she's moved into the care center at Freeman, and just blessings upon her there. Clifford Herbolt in hospice, Marcia Shelsky in hospice, so many others, Lord. Eleanor Renner in the hospital, I think at Yankton, after suffering a stroke. We lift these all to you. Jesus, thank you for the work that you do in our lives each and every day. We pray for our troops, our military. Thank you for the blessings they provide our nation and many countries around the world each and every day, Lord. We think of Travis Gramco. I know the family is up in Wisconsin as he received a very prestigious award yesterday evening up there, and bring them home safely. Lord, lots that are on vacation through these summer months, watch over them all. Again, we thank you for the rain that you brought yesterday. In the right time, we trust you for more. You know what it takes to grow the crops and the pastures and our lawns and the trees. And that's how you designed this world to work, with moisture from above. So we thank you for that. As we pray for the rain naturally, we pray for the rain spiritually upon our nation, as we desperately need that outpouring. Lord, in many ways, we are in a drought spiritually in our country. You have brought great awakenings by the Spirit of God before over our history, and we call out to you for another one across this great land that you have given us. And we thank you for the working of your Spirit in each of our lives and in our churches and our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John 16:13. Says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us. That's one of the things he does in our lives. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So, Father, as we've placed seed in the ground this spring for the crops, the flowers, the gardens, so we place seed in your kingdom. We're not just dropping money in a box back there, but we're sowing into your kingdom for your word to be proclaimed, for your goodness to be preached, for salvation in Christ alone is the message. For Jesus, you said, as we see the verse on our wall, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. And that is how we come, through the blood of Jesus Christ, before your throne. Thank you for blessing these gifts and blessing our lives in incredible ways, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If Amber and Callie, if you want to come, please, now for your baptisms. Come on down. So you can stand here. Hold it close.
Okay. Good morning. After meeting with Pastor Mike about my baptism on June 6th, I have been reading and meditating on the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." I have had a desire to be baptized alongside Callie for some time. I was baptized as an infant with my parents. My parents are faithful and good. The world was hardening my heart. Tripping up my steps.
It's okay.
Yeah. But Jesus knows when to step in. He gave me his hand. He helped me out of my pit. I have been in the wilderness with Jesus for 3 years now, listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing Jesus to go through my heart, allowing conviction, allowing Jesus to work in me and the study of his word and the renewing of my mind. Strongholds can be broken. Through this baptism, I am reaffirming my faith in Christ. Through him, I know I am the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And our sweet Callie Jade prayed on June 6th for Jesus to come into her life. This was during the time that we met with Pastor Mike about our baptisms. It was beautiful to be there, and I'm grateful to be in this moment with her.
Amen. Beautiful, isn't it? Yep. Yes. Amen. Okay. I'll take that. If you want to set your paper back here. You can go first, okay? We'll do you first, Amber. So if you kneel down and you want to face the congregation. All right. Amber Joy. Amen. What a beautiful testimony. Amber Joy Cross. We are here to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I thank you Lord, for the work that you have done and are doing in Amber's heart and in her life, drawing her to you more and more each and every day, as she testified and spoke of. Lord, what a precious moment this is for her to be baptized with her daughter Callie. So I thank you for for filling her today with the Holy Spirit of God to overflowing. I pray that as she grows in you, that she will experience and know your presence in ways that she has never yet even known. That you open the eyes of her understanding as she looks into your word to speak to her heart. You bless her and Brian in their home, in their marriage, as they raise these girls, Briley and Callie, to know you, to live for you. Guide them each step of the way. I pray your hand of protection upon them, their family, and their household. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes. Callie, if you want to come, you can just stay standing up, okay? Come over here a little closer. There we go. Callie Jade Cross, a sweet little girl. We are here to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. I thank you for Callie, a precious little girl. Lord, just a sweet, tender spirit that you have placed within her. A beautiful smile, beautiful eyes that you have given her, Lord. She is yours, and she belongs to you. And we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over her as she grows in her walk with you, as she learns more of you at home with the family, as she learns more of your word in Sunday school and as time comes to confirmation classes and beyond. Lord, increase her knowledge and understanding of you and let her love for you be great as you shine through her so brightly at home and at school. Thank you for blessing this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Yes, I have your certificates here, I'll give you. And you can get this, and those flowers are for you guys too after church, okay? Congratulations.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Wait till the other ones come up. Well, what special day are we celebrating today?
Father's Day.
Did you give your dad something today, or did you, what'd you give him? A card? That's nice. Did anybody else give their dad something?
A card.
Card. Hello. You got dad what? Elephant mask that has bows? Okay, Josh. No, she's. Mommy is shaking her head. No. Do you want to clear it up? All right, you gave him a hug. That's awesome. Yeah, cool. Okay, did any of you tell your dad Happy Father's Day or tell him you love him or you're going to do something for him today? Yeah, did you? Yes, no? How about if we tell him all Happy Father's Day right now all together, okay? And we're saying this not just to our fathers. Maybe we don't have a father. Like my father's in heaven. Maybe we have an uncle or a grandfather or somebody else that's that father figure to us. Let's just stand up and say, Happy Father's Day. Ready? I'll do it with you. Ready? Come on, stand up. Stand up. Ready? Okay. One, two, three.
Happy Father's Day!
Awesome. Great job. That's very good. Now they know. Well, do you know what that, like I said, not everybody does have a father that's at home with them. In fact, you know, the other day we were in somebody's house, and I would say that they're a blended family, and on their wall they had this sign, and it said, "There are no steps here, only family." And I thought that is really cool because we are a family. And you know what that means, step? Like if you have a stepdad or a step-grandfather. That's what that means, but we're all together. We're all together. We're a family. Did you know that Pastor Mike, that our son Nathan, that Pastor Mike adopted him when he was like 12 years old? So Nathan didn't have a father around for 11 years, but he did. And that is so awesome. I think I'm having a trouble here with my thing. So I want to talk to you about the three B's that remind me of Pastor Mike as a father. The first one is bread. Yeah. Do you know what they say about our dads and those that provide for us? They bring in the bread money. They bring in the money that supports us. Now, I know sometimes moms do too, right? Do some of your moms work? And I have worked many years too in our marriage. But they provide for us. And you know what? That reminds me of the Lord's Prayer that we said. God provides for us too. Everything that, yeah, I'll tell you later. Everything that we need. So that's the first thing. He gives us jobs. Sometimes, Pastor Mike, did you know he had two jobs when we first were a young family with Rachel? And he worked two jobs so that I could stay home. Well, that reminds, the next B is ball. Does your dad ever play ball with you? Football or volleyball or softball? Does he? I know, my microphone's crazy. Yeah, baseball, all those things. Well, Pastor Mike did that too with our kids. He played football with Nathan and volleyball with Rachel. Now, I don't think I should throw it to you. But I want to. And the last thing that last B reminds me of the
Bible.
The Bible. Pastor Mike told both of our children and all the children that have been around our lives and all the churches that we've been around. Oops. Okay, I'll just hold it like this. About God and his love for us. And he read the Bible to our kids when they grew up. And now he's going to also read it to Griffin, his grandson. And he brings us to church. He bring them to church when they were young. Read the Bible to them. And now, Pastor Mike also is not only a father and a dad, he's a father-in-law. Do you know what that means? What's a father-in-law? A father-in-law is when your children, like our daughter Rachel, married Caleb. So Mike became Caleb's father-in-law, right? Yeah. So he loves doing things with Caleb and loves to be around him. And he also likes to play golf with Caleb. That's a fun thing that he gets to do with him. So today on this day, I want you to remember your dad and your mom also and those people in your lives that are men that loves you and teaches you and puts things into you. All of those people that do that. We want to remember them and we want to thank them and we want to give them a hug. Give them a hug too, okay? Have fun with your dads today. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful, God, that you have given us Jesus to be our Savior. And you, God, are our Father, as we prayed earlier in the Lord's Prayer. You take care of us. You watch over us. You provide for us. We thank you for providing our dads and those men in our lives that have raised us, have blessed us, has been there for us, supported us, been to all of our activities, as many as they could be, and that love us and mainly teach us about you. Bless these children this day and this week, wherever they go. Help them to tell others that you love them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
There you go. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers there.
Okay, thank you, Ann. We are blessed to have Caden Fisher with us today to do special music. He's working on a research project in Brookings up at SDSU for the summer. Yep. Thanks, Caden.
Yeah. Mm. Sweet of prayer, sweet of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet of prayer. Sweet of prayer, sweet of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet of prayer. Sweet of prayer, sweet of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisa's lofty height I view my home and then take flight. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet of
Thank you, Caden. That was amazing. So beautiful. Thanks for sharing your gift with us today. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, yes, thank you that we can come to you in prayer every moment of the day, 24/7. As the phrase said, and since he bids us seek his face, your face, Lord, believe his word and trust his grace. So we do, Father. You know our thoughts, you hear our whispers, you hear every prayer lifted before your throne. And we know that in your time and according to your will and according to your word, you answer. And we thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for being our good shepherd. We are your sheep. Thank you for your patience with us. When we fall, when we rebel, when we mess up, you are always there, searching, calling, waiting, for your mercies are new every morning. So, Lord, thank you for your word, and I ask, as always, for you to speak through me to those gathered here today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, that was beautiful. The 23rd Psalm. You know, some years I do Father's Day messages. This year we're just continuing on. We were on it for Mother's Day, and we're on it for Father's Day. Piece by piece we're going through. So let's say it together, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. That should be so ingrained in our hearts and in our minds that only God knows what our ending days will be. But as I've said many times, as I've seen many times over the years here, especially with the elderly who maybe aren't able to speak, maybe don't know their own loved ones, but can still say that just as clear as a bell. Because why? Because Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord." So when we hide his word in our heart, it's always there. No matter what happens here, it can always come out. Amen. I've seen it with stroke victims who couldn't say anything else. And I'd say, let's try and say the 23rd Psalm. And out it comes. And the doctor's sitting there in amazement. So to God be the glory. So we're working through this. We are on verse 4, the last part of verse 4. I'll read verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the part we're on today is thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. So last Sunday we were on the rod. That's short. It could have been a little longer than this. It probably would have been thicker than this. But a branch of a tree that the shepherd would have found as a boy and worked and carved it and whittled it and made it his own, practice it, could use it with skill and precision against the enemies, as we saw. It was an instrument of protection, the rod. It represents God's word. We went through the comparisons last Sunday. An instrument of protection, an instrument for examination. And interestingly enough, last Sunday we had the Lord's Supper here, where we're told to examine ourselves. And thirdly, an instrument of discipline. We talked about all of those things as a rod for the shepherd naturally with his sheep, as God's rod, his word, as he works with us. So today we come, though, to the staff. And that's this. The staff, and it probably would have been, and this is what we use on Christmas Eve, maybe you recognized it, but it would have been all as long probably as this. Well, for my height, it would have been. So the shepherd again picked out his own rod, he picked out his own staff and carved it and whittled it, and the staffs most always had the crook or the hook on the end of them. Because it was a tool that was designed uniquely and specifically to be used with sheep. Not so much the cattle, not the horses, not the hogs. There's other things. With cattle, you got the prod, right? Or the what do you call that thing, the hot shot? Is that what it is? Whatever, you know? Don't want that used on you, do you? Whoa, that wouldn't feel very good. But the staff, so the rod representing God's word, I'll get it in a bit, the staff representing the Holy Spirit as we're working through this. And when I read, again, I've read two books of shepherds, believers, so they were comparing this psalm to their lives as shepherds. One was over in England. And the other thing as we go through this, we have to think back to the time when it was written, 3,000 years ago. There weren't all the fenced-in pastures and corrals and pens and everything. It was free range all over. So things were a lot different in that way. But what one shepherd said, I'll read it, of the book, said, "No other single word can better describe the function of the staff on behalf of the flock than that it is for their comfort." Exactly what the scripture says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So the staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind and patient. And so it is. So we're going to, as we look through this today, we're going to see three workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives that compare with the staff as he used it, the shepherd, with his sheep. And so first was the staff was used to draw the sheep into relationship. All right, well, relationship with who? Well, glad you asked. Relationship, first of all, with each other. The sheep with each other. That is very important. This one book, Philip Keller, he said this, and he was the one that was over in England, had thousands of sheep in his flock. He said this, "The shepherd will use his staff gently to lift a newborn lamb," that's with the hook or the crook, "to lift a newborn lamb and bring it to its mother if they become separated. I have watched skilled shepherds moving swiftly with their staffs amongst thousands of ewes that were lambing simultaneously." Moving swiftly what? To reach and get that newborn lamb up or whatever and over to its mom and just working through that whole flock of sheep with his staff. So how does that compare with the Holy Spirit? As newborn babes in Christ, one of the main works of the Holy Spirit is to draw us into fellowship with other believers. We have got to have that. And what a beautiful testimony, what Amber read this morning. That was so wonderful. And we're so thankful that God brought Brian and Amber and the girls here to Menno, a part of our community, our church, our school. And, you know, they've just jumped right in, even to the young adult Bible study that we have before church in the school year and after church now. What? So they can grow. That's a time of growth. That's what those Sunday school classes are for, adult and youth and children. Because what would the enemy like? We know the enemy is the devil. First Peter says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says that, excuse me, Jesus said. I'm getting ahead of myself and my thoughts. So I better finish that verse. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." First Peter said, "The thief prowls around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Well, one of his main tricks is to try to isolate. And of course, if a newborn lamb is isolated from the flock or separated from its mother, prime target for the coyotes, the wolves to come in to devour, right? And so if we are separated from fellowship with believers, we are prime targets for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy from our lives. David, the psalmist in Psalm 133, he spoke of this. He said, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers, believers, we could say brothers and sisters, live together in unity." And then he makes the comparison over in Israel. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, even Aaron's beard. Aaron was the first high priest in the Old Testament. That's why he's bringing that in. Down upon the collar and down his robes, for there in that place of anointing, there in that place where believers are gathered together in unity, there the Lord bestows and commands his blessing, even life forevermore. So the shepherd does that. He draws the sheep together in peaceful relationship with themselves. When we were on the phrase a few weeks back of he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, we talked about four things that sheep need for that to happen naturally. I'm not going through all four, but one of them was they have to be free from friction within the flock to be able to lie down peacefully. Now, I hope as we're going through this that especially the 23rd Psalm should always be on your mind. It is on mine. Of course, I'm the one preaching it. But just this last week, Wednesday, over the noon hour, we had to run down to Yankton, Ann and I, real quick. Coming back, of course, we usually come in from the south here. And there we come by Brian and Jesse Gehring's farm, and they have sheep. And I said to Ann, look, the sheep are all just laying in the grass right there, so peaceful. Some all the way, head down, asleep, just resting peacefully. I said, that's the 23rd Psalm, right there, right before our eyes. It was neat to see. We have good shepherds in our church, several of them. So Paul, this unity within the flock, it has to be in the church. It does, because we've all seen it, heard of it at least, congregations where the devil comes in, stirs up strife, division, dissension. And often the results are not good, not good. So we guard, we always guard against that. We pray against it. Paul, as he prayed for the churches in the epistles, Philippians 1, he said, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, your love for one another. We see that in his prayer in Ephesians 2. I'm not going into that one. So drawing the sheep into relationship with each other, secondly, drawing the sheep together in relationship with himself as the shepherd. Jesus, our good shepherd, we are his friend. He calls us his friend, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friend. What a privilege that is. The shepherd, naturally, will use the staff to draw the sheep unto himself. And so Jesus does, by the Holy Spirit of God, that's one of his works, to draw us into closer relationship with himself by the Spirit, by the Word. And we grow in our walk with him. With the Navajos, I always have to go back to that because sheep were a big, big part of their lives many times over the years, especially my single years when the Navajo grandmas always had me over for meals. And, of course, it was after we got married too, but it was especially when I was a single guy out there those 5 years, and they kept me fed. And a lot of them had sheep. One of them, Grandma Rena Beard, and her husband Dale was a shepherd, and lambing season, if I'd be over there for a meal, you could count on it, there were going to be two or three lambs in the house, just roaming around wherever they wanted to go. But mostly they would follow Grandma. They had those long three-tiered skirts that were big. That's what they traditionally wore. And those sheep just followed right at that skirt. And when she sat down on the chair, and of course the skirt covered the whole chair, those little lambs went right under that skirt and they just laid down under her. And we had our meal. And were they always potty trained? Well, what do you think? No. Did they have diapers on? No. But that was their livelihood. They, in relationship, those little lambs, and so we know the nursery rhyme, right? Mary had a little lamb, and on that goes. I just saw that in action. Lived out with the grandmas. Those little lambs followed them wherever they went. all the time. And so Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 11, 28, a favorite verse, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Thank you. I will give you rest. And then he goes on, Jesus, I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yes. All right. So the staff is used to draw the sheep into relationship with each other and with the shepherd. Secondly, it's used for guiding the sheep. That, again, the shepherd, with the Navajos, I assume it's the same in Israel, he led from behind. With his voice, with his staff, with his rod. We talked about that last time. If they were really getting out of line, then the rod had to come into action. But often it was the staff, and it was long, so he could reach out and just lay it. You know, if one's getting off the path, out of line, he'd just lay it on there. And that was a comfort to these shepherds in the books I read. That was a comfort to the sheep, just feeling the shepherd's staff, not kabam, no, but just, all right, come on, get back in line. Get back in line here, or maybe on this side. And so the Holy Spirit, as he works in our lives, his preference is with gentleness. I don't know where my rod, I put it on the bottom. That's where it went, right there. So if we cooperate with him, it goes much better, right? We all know that. We all know that if we're going to be stubborn and rebellious in our ways and bullheaded and whatever, it doesn't always go so well. There's consequences to our actions. Naturally, yes, is God forgiving? Absolutely. Is he merciful? Yes, he is merciful. The staff representing the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The verse I read for the offering, John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll guide us. And he does. He longs to do that. So, thirdly, the staff was used to lift the sheep out of trouble. How does that work? I guess I brought one of Anne's sheep that she's had. So let's just say the shepherd in the natural, here's the sheep and the shepherd is herding, and this is sort of a cliff right here. But just maybe down there somewhere, there's this nice patch of green grass. And that sheep just has to have one more mouthful. And so he's getting closer and closer and ends up slipping and slipping and ends up down there on a ledge. I better extend my staff. And so the shepherd has to come to the rescue with the staff. And he can. He can stretch down there and reach and lift that little lamb up, right? And say, don't do that again. And that lamb probably won't listen to that for too long. The staff is used to lift us out of our troubles, situations we get in. Because sheep, I've talked to lots of you who give me stuff, are extremely stubborn. They can get themselves in ridiculous situations, stuck. They're heading the fence or in a narrow way. They can walk in there, but they don't know they can back right out. And there they sit and all kinds of things. Tangled in thorn bushes, things like that. The staff is used to get them out. And so again, the Holy Spirit works in us. The jams we get ourselves into often. Hopefully as the years go on, those situations that we get ourselves into become less, When we're younger and think we're this invincible person and can do anything, we get in those situations more often, I think. But the Good Shepherd is merciful and gracious. And don't run from the Good Shepherd. Run to Him. Run to Him always. This goes back years ago. I still can't say a name, but it was here, and a guy that was really struggling, and adult man, middle-aged at that time, old enough to know better, was going to an establishment down in Lesterville that he shouldn't been going to, if that tells you enough of that. And I'd talked to him about it more than once, so would his wife. Kept going. One night we were coming, and God loved him, still does. And the odd chances, Ann and I had been in Yankton, I think it was a Friday evening. Normally, we're not late night people. But that night, we were coming home from Yankton. It was dark out, coming down 46, getting ready to turn here. And right at that exact moment, as we're turning here, this pickup pulls up to the stop sign with his blinker on going right. And it was this man. I said to Ann, there he is. I bet I know where he's going. Well, that time, the next morning, I waited a while and settled myself down and I called him. I said, I saw you at the junction right there, 46. My lights shined right on you and you were turning right. And I know where you were going, weren't you? Yes. Yes, I did. At least he was honest with me. I said, you know, that's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your marriage, your home. You cannot be doing that. I know. And so he came by the next week. We talked. We prayed together. And for a while, it'd go good. The bad part is, then it continued. Then his wife would find him down there. Then eventually, the marriage ended. Then eventually, he had more than he should have to drink the one night, and he's on his motorcycle coming home, and an HP follows him, and as he's coming out of there, I don't know at what point exactly on the way back towards Minnow, he steps on it on his motorcycle to outrun the HP. That's one bad thing leads to another. That's how these things work. And he goes flying off the road through this ditch into this cornfield, rolls how many times over on that motorbike, lands on him, messes up his leg. They never did find him that night. And so he comes to me, which is good. I want him to. He's like, wow, God sure hit me over the head with a 2x4 this last week. But was it God's fault? Did God do that to him? No, he did not. But the rod had to come out, is what I would say. And he was banged up for quite a while. So I wasn't going to share that, but there I did. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because the Good Shepherd loves us. We are his sheep. He wants us to be healthy and blessed in our lives. Amen? Well, you're all pretty quiet on me. Psalm 40, finishing this up. Verse 1 through 3. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. And listen, this is the staff right here. I love this verse. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Sometimes we get stuck in the mud. It's our own fault. Sometimes it's not. But all three uses of the shepherd's staff, he brings us in relationship with each other and with himself. He guides us by his Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit, he lifts us out of trouble that we can get into. All three of those uses of his staff are a comfort to us. Just in closing, one other quick deal. If you've ever been stuck in the mud, I'm talking literally, maybe a tractor, a truck, vehicle, whatever, okay, but how about just in your own feet? When we were down at Arlington, Nebraska, which was before Menno, so it was probably my eighth grade or freshman year of high school down there, and we detasseled corn 2 summers, Fontenelle hybrids, I think 1 year DeKalb, the other, and of course, they liked kids that were six foot and above. Well, we qualified. Because in that era, you walked the fields. There was no riding a machine. You walked it. Pulling those tassels and sometimes doing 4 rows at a time, 2 on each side. And if you ever done it, in the dew of the morning, because you started at sunup where the dew was heavy and you were just drenched. And eventually, that would dry off and you would dry off. But on occasion, we'd have to detassel irrigated fields. Not fun. And so this one day, this irrigated field was especially wet. I mean, the water was standing in the rows. So you're slopping through this in the mud. And from your feedlots and all, the mud gets heavier and heavier and thicker and thicker. And I'm going slower and slower. And for some reason, I'm getting left behind, and eventually I lose my shoe in the mud. And I couldn't find it. And now I'm really behind, stuck in the mud. And everybody's way ahead, and just a young guy, I sort of panic, and, I don't know. I can't even explain it to this day what happened. I just lost all sense of direction in there. I didn't know how far back it was. Because down there in Nebraska, those fields can be a mile long, those rows at times. How far it was out, how far in, this way, that way. And so I'm wandering around in there for a very long time. And finally find out, and all the crew is on the bus, and my sister and brother were on there, and Lori, she's just freaked out. I thought you were lost. I was lost. But the Lord lifted me out of that slimy pit that day, thank goodness, and I went back the next day. So there's my stuck in the mud story for you. Yea, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He is with you always. His rod and his staff, they comfort you always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful psalm that you inspired David to write so many years ago that is precious to so many. As we live our lives, at whatever age or phase of life we are in, this holds true every step of the way. Thank you for your Spirit, the Spirit of God who lives and works within us in these ways and so many more. Thank you, Jesus, again for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we are going to sing number 50. This is actually from the Praise book. You should know it pretty well. It's called Shout to the Lord. Think of the words. Lord, there is none like you, and on it goes. Let's stand together as we sing this, please.
There is none like you.
all of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, before we go, we will sing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with gold.